Hello and welcome. It's hour number two, the Ben Maller radio program recorded in the overnight and repackaged in the podcast format. And this hour, a basketball hour, some interesting comments coming out of our nation's capital, unless you're in Canada or New Mexico, then it's just the capital of the United States. But Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, well, he had some very interesting things to say about Russell Westbrook, calling him the second greatest point guard in NBA history. Blasphemy, we say. Hyperbole, for sure. We will parse the words of Scotty Brooks, the head coach, about Russell Westbrook. That and more. It's coming your way right now in hour number two. An NBA ranking ruckus. Say what? Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we pontificate coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from under the moonlight, camouflaged by the darkness, hanging out here at the Fox Sports Radio Studios. Hope all is well with you, and I am saving you from the LeBron James Maller monologue. I was going to do a LeBron monologue, and then at the last minute, I saw something that caught my attention, and I said, wait a minute. Did that guy say the thing that I think he said, and it happened, and our lead this hour coming from the NBA. It's a team we don't often focus too much on, certainly not Maller monologue worthy, the Washington Wizards. And now this is a story that is worthy of conversation and a few good minutes on the radio. So Washington, their star guard, they picked up as a giveaway by the Houston Rockets, Russell Westbrook, he made some history against the Indiana Pacers. Now, it was a ridiculously high-scoring game, and nobody decided to play any defense in that game, but the Pacers were the opponent. Washington won the game, and Russell Westbrook dished out 24 assists. He had 21 rebounds in 39 minutes, and by doing that, having those combination of stats, he has become the first player ever in the NBA with multiple 20-assist, 20-rebound games. Not Wilt Chamberlain, no, him, by himself, on an island by himself. Now, that led to some over-the-top hyperbole from Scotty Brooks, the former UC Irvine anteater back in the day and a journeyman NBA coach. Did you see what Scott Brooks had to say? You did not. All right, maybe you missed it. So Scott Brooks, who coached Russell Westbrook with Oklahoma City and is coaching him again now with Washington, he was asked about Westbrook and his status, and Scott Brooks said that he thinks Russell Westbrook is the second best point guard ever, that only Magic Johnson is ahead of Russell Westbrook. He said point guards don't do what he does. Point guards don't do what he does. Now, as you might imagine, this quote ruffled some feathers around the basketball world where everyone loves to rank everything, this, that, and the other. So we're not going to give you any of the other quotes from Scott Brooks because that's the money quote. And I was told by a program director, Ben, when you get the money quote, don't go with the other nonsense. Nobody cares about the other nonsense. Just focus on the money quote. That's the money quote, that Scott Brooks thinks that Russell Westbrook is the second best point guard ever behind Magic Johnson. So the question, it's not brain surgery, it's sports talk radio. The question, in your opinion, is Russell Westbrook just a whisker behind Magic Johnson, the second greatest point guard in NBA history? Shaking my head, no. No, 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 no. All right, now I've got my observations. You've got Looney Tunes, Moonshine, and Bandit. And we will combine all of these things together into an adequate Maller monologue. And number one, Russell Westbrook. We have said this before. We will repeat it now. It bears repeating. Russell Westbrook is an acquired taste. He's not for everyone. And my taste buds are not there with Russell Westbrook. Now, we pick him all the time when we play the NBA Pick'em because as a fantasy basketball player, wow, he's the bee's knees, man. He's amazing, unbelievable, unreal, great. But in terms of actual NBA, I was concerned. I was worried there. I was biting my nails. I was thinking that the Clippers were rumored to get Russell Westbrook, and I was concerned he was going to end up with the Clippers. And then I'd have to reevaluate my position. Fortunately, that did not happen. But Russell Westbrook, we've said it many times, he plays with a reckless abandon, which works really well for 95% of a basketball game. It's the other 5% which is problematic. And that's why you cannot, if you're being authentic, put Russell Westbrook second to Magic Johnson. If he was a Warner Brothers cartoon, and if he was one of the Looney Tunes, he would be the Tasmanian Devil, is who Russell Westbrook would be. That's how he plays. He's the whirling dervish. And we mentioned this the other day, the law of the instrument. If the only tool you have, the only tool that you have is the hammer, then you're going to treat everything as if it were a nail, right? Because that's all you got, your hammer. For better or worse, that is the way that Russell Westbrook plays basketball. He's the hammer. Now, the second thing, you're Scott Brooks, who's, it's very, very clear what's going on here. It's transparent what's going on. Scott Brooks is desperately trying to curry favor from Russell Westbrook and also Bradley Beal, but mostly Russell Westbrook, so he can keep his job. You know, and I know what the stakes are here. He's buttering the biscuits. It also sounded, when I saw the quotes coming out of the Wizards locker room from Scott Brooks, it sounded like he's drinking gallons of moonshine, right? Because he's tossing out these verbal bouquets with one hand, and then you know he's got the rose petals in front of Westbrook's feet in the other hand. Really? Really? Even NBA veteran Ron Hollywood Harper, one of the Clipper greats of all time, Ron Harper, even he said that Scott Brooks is just happy to keep his job, and that's what was going on. And listen, Brooks is not guaranteed of that. He's on thin ice. And even with all the statistical greatness that Russell Westbrook has put up, and I imagine years from now we'll have endless numbers of Who Am I game and Insta trivia questions based on Russell Westbrook and the statistics he's put up during his career. And you got Bradley Beal over there, couple of studs, couple of absolute studs. And Washington, spoiler alert, they've got a losing record. They're losers as a team. They are only in position to be in the playoffs because of the generosity of the NBA's expanded postseason field. They went to 20 teams, 66%. 66% of NBA teams qualify for the postseason. You have to be a total stumble bum to miss out. And now, keep in mind, I have a bet. Our colleague here, Rob Parker, I have a bet with Rob, and I was very bullish that the Wizards would make the playoffs. I still think that's going to happen, and right now they would be in the play-in tournament. They'd be able to make at least the first opening salvo in the playoffs. But I'm not going any further than that. I figure with that level of talent, you should be able to get to the playoffs. The fact that the Wizards were buried and they're still under 500, even though they've been one of the better teams in the NBA the last couple weeks, tells you all you need to know. All right, final
point. Sound the alarm.
That's right, Rob. All right, final point here. So Magic Johnson, I think we can agree he's the gold standard at point guards. That's fine. No argument with Scott Brooks on that. But after that, to me, there's no debate that John Stockton is the number two guy. And his salad days with Karl Malone and the Utah Jazz, I think Stockton is the all-time leader in assists and also in steals. At least he was, I'm pretty sure. He's right there in the top in both those categories. And then it comes down, after that, it's like personal preference, right? You can debate Westbrook. He's a name, but he's not number three in my book. And there's a bunch of players, depending on how old you are. You might say Jason Kidd. You might say Steve Nash. I'm sure there's someone, I've not met these people, I say Chris Paul. I'm not in that camp. Isaiah Thomas, the Pistons, Isaiah Thomas, Bob Cousy. We can go on and on. There's old school Sixer fans that will argue that Mo Cheeks, one of the greats of all time. And We have never been particularly giddy for Russell Westbrook's game. And again, I go back, I'm going to circle back to what we had said. In fantasy basketball terminology, he is the Wilt Chamberlain of his day. Now, that being said, in the category of wins and losses, right? If that's the category, most games are close. Most games are close. Teams are separated by inches. And that's the problem. It's that final push. Down the stretch we come, right? Down the stretch we come, which is problematic. And that has been the bugaboo for Russell Westbrook. And that's why you cannot, if you're being fair and balanced, put Russell Westbrook in the number two position. He is a classical bandit. He's a stat bandit, right? And kind of like Bamboo at the end of games. Now, I like Bamboo. Bamboo's pretty solid, but Bamboo's also hollow, all right? And that's how Westbrook plays. That's how he performs at the end of games. He's got those zombie stats, and Russell Westbrook is a liability in crunch time. He's a terrible outside shooter, and yet he continues to shoot from the outside. And you can defend him. Listen, I have limited knowledge as a basketball coach. They did call me back in the day when I played basketball, Moneyball Maller. But you can leave him wide open, and he'll shoot. In fact, if you remember last year with the Rockets, Russell Westbrook inside the Fugazi bubble against the Lakers, that's exactly what the Lakers were doing. They were just not even pretending like they cared about Russell Westbrook at all. And he kept shooting and missing and shooting and missing over and over. He never got the message. And that's been the case all the way since the early days of his NBA sojourn. It is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to be part of the radio program, we'll take your phone calls here. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Also available on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. If you would like to be part of the festivities, we'll take your phone calls as well. All right, so we just did a rant about Russell Westbrook, and pretty much summed up the fact that he is a liability at the end of games, that he plays hero ball at the end of the games. Well, he's going to have to get in line there. Another young star in the NBA is being called out for his hoggish ways. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Delicious.
At the buzzer!
Trying to hit the post.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones. Some call him the call screener, but we call him the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
The Rocket. He was a pitcher for the Yankees.
Rocket is a mound.
More amazing answers just like that coming up in Hour 3 in Maller's Mountain of Money. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Justin in Cincinnati says, another great Russell Westbrook monologue. Keep them coming. Justin in Cincinnati says, well, I will do my best, Justin. I'm on the pulse of the people, clearly. Craig says, Russell Westbrook is the triple-double GOAT. Yeah. Just Josh in Cincinnati pointing out Russell Westbrook is like that really nice sports car on the floor. It's flashy and fast, but it's got one flaw. No brakes! There you go. Not sure it's equipped with airbags either, according to Just Josh, the late-night drug tester. From Parts Unknown says, great monologue, also proving to the Laker historians, you are not biased against their team by saying Magic is the greatest point guard of all time. That's correct. Yes, I am neutral. I am fair and neutral. And listen, that's how I operate.
What?
You hear the show. You know what's going on. Trucker Joe writes and says, speaking of moonshine, Ben, did you ever try the one I sent you? Did you mix it with something as I recommended. I did try it. I did not mix it with anything. I actually have some of it left in the liquor cabinet here at the Maller Mansion, Trucker Joe, so I have a little bit left. We did not have the ugly sweater party last year. I was planning on drinking it then. Sam in D.C. writes in, says, better than Isaiah Thomas and his two championships, I don't think so.
Yeah, no way.
Well, I'm not going to go there. By the way, you spelled Isaiah like the other Isaiah, the guy with the Celtics. He's got a few less letters there, the Isaiah Thomas with the Pistons. Not that I'm nitpicking. But look, I like Isaiah Thomas was a great player with the Pistons. But you know, John Stockton, I would put Stockton as the number two since we're doing list radio, which I can't stand. And that's what we're doing. All right, let's go to the phones. And who do we have here? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Pick a caller by their name. Who do we have here? We have someone. Chris in Houston. Is that what we have? Chris in Houston. Hello, Christopher.
Who?
Boy, Ben, you know you picked the right person to talk about old Russell Westbrook. Boy, I tell you,
it's one of your guys, man, Chris. That's the old days of the Rockets. That's one of your guys right there. That's one of your guys. Come on.
That was one of those horrible trades that Daryl Morey made before he ran town and ran for another team, man. I'm going to tell you, man, look here. Russell Westbrook, the best I ever seen this guy ever play was when Oklahoma City went up 3-1 against Golden State, and then all the wheels fell off. It's easy. This guy here, man, I'm telling you, man, just sit at the basket and just camp out there. Let him shoot as many jump shots as he wants. Yeah, that guy there can't hit the side of a barn when he wanted to. I'm telling you, man.
No. Look. No, I agree. I said it in the monologue. Listen, he's a terrible outside shooter. That's the kryptonite in his game. And even in this statistically dominant season by Russell Westbrook, when he's shooting, you know, mid-range jump shots, he's shooting 37%. 16-foot to three-point range, he's shooting 38%. So he's still he's not doing well. He's shooting 31% from three-point range. Terrible.
That's not it either, Ben. You got to remember, he can't dribble worth a lick either in a half court. If you get him in a half court on a one-on-one, he can't cross over. His crossover is weaker than your jump shot.
He will run you over like a bull, though. He will run a bull.
But, yeah, just stand there and take the offensive foul. That's all. I mean, the guy.
Well, you know, man, guys don't do that very often, though, Chris. Come on, that's old school. You know, guys in the NBA don't often. There's not many guys that take the
I asked my buddy the other day, did he just cheapen the triple-double? I mean, the triple-double was something that was unique. And now this guy just put those them up there. And, I mean, thanks to Oklahoma City and Steven Adams running away from the basketball, gave this guy all of a sudden now his niche. You know, yeah. I mean, he will be known. He will be known for a long time as Mr. Triple Double guy. But he's a choke artist. He had Kevin Durant, who basically wakes up and shoots jump shots out of spite. I mean, he's had James Harden, and I always said if you pair them together, if you take James Harden's game and Russell Westbrook's heart, you have an ultimate basketball player. But hey, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you, Chris. I'm glad you brought up the video from Oklahoma City when the first season that Russell Westbrook, if you haven't seen that video, it's still on YouTube, when he got the triple-double. And you saw not just Steven Adams, the Kiwi, but other players who treated the basketball like it was a hand grenade and they didn't want to touch it. They just wanted, you know, it was like a hot potato or a cannonball, and it was hilarious.
Now, Ben, I know you have you talked to the Lakers fans? I know we were talking about Russell Westbrook. Have you talked to your Lakers historians over there about Anthony Davis and them ankles? How long he's going to last?
No. They're feeling good because they beat the Nuggets, so now they're feeling good. And that's did you see the end of that game? Austin Rivers. Oh, my. That is the full Austin Rivers experience. I hope our friends in Denver are used to that. I saw Austin Rivers with the Clippers, and you saw him with the Rockets, Chris. Not a high basketball IQ guy there. That he's going to screw you. He screwed up at the end of that game.
Like JJ Redick, he gets paid, man. He's been getting contract after contract after contract, and he's a good backup.
Yeah.
Point guard, similar.
Yeah, JJ Redick's like Russell Westbrook. He'll hit a shot for the first three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, forget about it. When the game's on the line, you don't want JJ Redick taking a big shot for you.
That Clippers curse, though, you know.
That's not the Clipper curse. He played for a bunch of other teams before the Clippers. It's not a Clipper curse. You know what's a curse? Houston Spurs. Houston Sports, my voodoo doll. Let me tell you. The Maller voodoo doll that I bought on Amazon for Houston sports continues to pay off amazing dividends.
But it is outstanding. We don't even need a voodoo doll for the Clippers.
The snake bit Houston sports scene right now. And when are you going to beg for forgiveness, Chris, so the Houston teams can start being relevant again?
But see, that's the thing is we don't even need a voodoo doll for the Clippers.
Now, again, it's not about the Clippers. We're talking about the. We moved on from that. The conversation has moved on to the voodoo involving the Houston cheating Astros, who are looking up at the Oakland Athletics. No longer a first place team, the Astros, the Texans, who are drafting second rate quarterbacks in the third round. We can go on and on. Anyway, all right, thank you, Chris. Go away. Now, I mentioned Russell Westbrook. We ranted about that. And he's basically a hero ball guy at the end of games. Well, another young star in the NBA being called out, Colin Sexton. Who? He plays for the Cleveland Cadavers. They've been eliminated from the playoffs, which is hard to do when over 65% of teams qualify, at least in the top 10 spots in each conference. Well, reports coming out recently out of Cleveland say that a number of teammates of Colin Sexton are very frustrated by their guard and how dominant he is, what a ball hog he is. My favorite part of this, and I did a double take when I saw it, I thought this is hilarious. This is great. So Colin Sexton is such a big ball hog, according to the reporting coming out of Cleveland. How big a ball hog is he? He's such a big ball hog that when the Cavaliers are on offense, the opposing players taunt the players they're guarding during games by saying, you know he's not going to pass you the ball as they're running around trying to get open. That is outstanding. Oh, that's like a basketball comedy. That is great. Imagine you're on the Cavs, you're running around, you're trying to get open, and the guy's supposedly guarding you, plausibly trying to stop you. He's like, no, don't worry about that. You're not going to get the ball anyway. He's not going to pass the ball. Sexton's got the ball. That's like the black hole, man. You pass him the ball, nothing's coming out of there, and he's going to shoot the ball. That's how that's going to work. So just deal with it. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. We're going to have Maller to the third degree. And Colin Sexton, I guess if you're the Cavaliers, just one final point on that. If you're the Cavaliers, you're like, all right, at least Sexton will put up some stats, and then people will think he's better than he is. Although be careful, because remember the Minnesota Timberwolves, a certain guy named Wiggins put up some numbers there and turned out to be a total fraud. So just because you put up stats, anybody can put up numbers on a bad team. I saw it firsthand. I covered some terrible NBA teams early on when I was a radio reporter, and they always had guys, a couple of guys that would put up great numbers, they being the Clippers. So, and they were terrible. They were god-awful. But somebody has to score. You're going to score 100 points if you're a bad team, so somebody's got to score the 100 points. And so you put up some empty numbers.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Ben, I mentioned the NHL there for a moment. There's a big story brewing out of the National Hockey League, where a player that, even if you're not a big hockey fan, you may know about because of his checkered past. His name is Tom Wilson. It's a generic name, but he plays for the Washington Capitals. He's actually a pretty good player, an important player for the team, but he always is getting suspended. He's been suspended 5 times since 2017. He was hit with a 7-game suspension earlier this season, and he was involved in a bit of an altercation in the Capitals win over the Rangers last night. He shoved one of the Rangers players' heads into the ice, which, the NHL
is frowned upon in the NHL these days.
You know how it is in sports these days, the head contact, the stuff with the head they're trying to outlaw.
It's taboo.
And then after some of the Rangers players came to their players' defense, he then ragdolled one of the star players, maybe the biggest star player for the Rangers, Artemi Panarin, threw him to the ice. Now, Panarin's helmet had flown off, and he banged his head on the ice, which injured him and did not look good at all. So Wilson got a bunch of penalties, misconduct, thing like that. And the NHL is pretty big on punishing repeat offenders. Now, the Capitals have four games left in the regular season. Will the NHL suspend Tom Wilson for any playoff games? That will be interesting to watch here in the next couple of days, because he did it against the New York Rangers, which is, you know, obviously a big team that has a big following, and the media in New York will be screaming about it.
The Rangers, I guess his coach is named David Quinn.
Yes,
is that the name of the
guy? Yes,
he unloaded.
He did.
I saw a clip
so,
going around social media. He was unloading on Tom Wilson. Dirty! Is he the dirtiest guy in hockey, Eddie? Tom Wilson? Is
he the worst? He's one of them.
No?
Yeah, he's one of them for sure.
Is he the worst, though? Who's the worst? Who's worse than him? Name him, Eddie. Who's worse? Who's a dirtier scoundrel than Tom Wilson?
If I had to pick one, I would
Gun
say
Gun to
yes.
your head
he's
right
the
now.
Worst. I would say he's the worst.
Yeah. Who's second worst?
Oh, boy.
Where have you gone, Ty Domi? Or
his
Stu
son's, his son's cool. playing in the league now. Ty Domi's son plays in the league.
Don't say that, Eddie. No, I don't want to hear that.
I know.
What happened to the great Marty McSorley?
Oh, yeah, Marty McSorley. There's another one.
I saw Marty not too long ago here in Los Angeles. He's enjoying retired life, if you know what I mean.
We need more thugs in hockey, Eddie. Is what we need.
It's not. It's moving the other way, Ben. It's not.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. They all hug each other.
Maybe Ryan Reeves in Vegas. He's another guy who gets his nose dirty a lot.
Was McSorley the guy who slashed the dude behind the head?
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Or was that the one in Vancouver where there were police
Donald
charges?
Brashear was
Yeah,
his
Donald
name.
Brashear, yeah. I remember that. Great moments in hockey.
Overreactions.
Yeah. All right. We got Mallard to the third degree. It's currently warming up. It's on the stove right now. We have Mascot Madness, one of the longest tenured mascots in sports. One of the OG mascots is selling out. The gorilla, the Suns mascot, the gorilla. I saw this story. It was actually sent to me by a couple of listeners who know I'm obsessed with mascots. It's my weird Michigas. But the Phoenix Suns gorilla mascot has signed the first ever team mascot athletic endorsement deal. You heard that correct. The person that plays the gorilla for the Suns will be outfitted by a local Phoenix streetwear boutique, and they will outfit him with rare sneakers and clothing for Suns home games. So I guess that means now that the gorilla, the Suns mascot, is going to have to walk down, like, you know how the players come into the NBA, it's like the red carpet, they're on the catwalk and they do a little pirouette. And so now the gorilla's going to have to walk down and do the pirouette and all that stuff. That has been the mascot since 1980 for the Phoenix Suns. So I hope that we don't see the Philly Fanatic do that. Chuck the Condor. I don't want to see Chuck the Condor, the great mascots of our time. Wally the Green Monster. Just leave that all alone. All right, leave the endorsement deals to the gorilla. Of course, it would be impossible if you've ever seen the Philly Fanatic, who is the size of our guy Fats in Philly. It would be impossible for the Fanatic to have the proper wardrobe because it's too big. It'd have to be plus size, by king size or something like that would have to be the product sponsor there. All right, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Let's go to the phones. We'll say hello to Corndog in Milwaukee, a fan favorite. Hello, Corndog.
Big Ben Maller, how the heck are you and the group, my man?
If I was any better, I'd be that secret stadium sauce, but no, I wouldn't, because I don't have any left, but it's outstanding.
I know you have. I could send you some.
No, don't worry about it. It's all good. It's a quality product, and it's a little sweet. As we were trying to figure out, I remember that's the secret stadium sauce there, and we were trying to figure out what it was, and I think we determined it was like a mix of barbecue and like kind of honey mustard.
Yeah,
type.
I figured it was like A1 sauce and ketchup kind of mixed up.
A little ketchup to it. Yeah, pretty good though. Solid.
Yeah, man.
Good for grilling. I got my Fenway Monster Dogs from the Hot Dog Benefactor there, so I'm ready to go for the summer. From Phil.
Well, I just figured I'd check in because I always listen. I usually hit if I'm in bed, I hit the snooze button, and for an hour I have listened to you guys, and sometimes you put me to sleep. Or sometimes, you know.
Now, what really puts you to sleep, Corn Dog? What monologues put you right to bed, Corn Dog? What really bores the hell out of you?
What team bore the hell out of me was the L.A. Dodgers this week because the Brewers beat up on your L.A. Dodgers. Then,
well,
then
what happened on,
so
what happened on Sunday, tough guy? What happened on Sunday?
We let you win that one because you're going to play the Cubs and get you guys warmed back up again to play the Cubs. But then you got rained out, so it's all on you guys. You guys got to take care of your own
business. What happened
to
the Brewers against the Phillies, man? You got nightmares by the fighting Phils, an under 500 team. What's up with that? That was an ordeal.
I know. We are dealing with injuries. I don't know what's going on with our
training staff
and stuff like that.
Stop with the injuries. The former MVP, gone right now. Bellinger, he's out. It's a May Day for the Dodgers. We'll do the May Day monologue coming up in a few minutes here on the Dodgers losing the great young pitcher, the Red Bomber.
Oh, yeah, that guy. That's a bad injury. That's a bomb.
Yeah, that's because you're
man.
Brewers, man. I blame the Brewers. It happened in Milwaukee. Bad job by you. He probably had a bad sausage before the game, Dustin May, and he went out there and he injured his arm.
He probably should have had some stadium sauce and lubed that arm up before he went out there and stuff. No,
Let me tell you something. He should have rubbed that sauce all over his arm is what he should have done.
Yeah, it's as red as his hair. Would have fit right in, you know?
Would have camouflaged. They thought it would have been part of the uniform. He had like an elbow sleeve on or something like that. Yeah.
All right,
Corn Dog. Yeah, thank you for checking in. I'm glad you're alive, Corn Dog. We were worried that you may be passed away, but you're very much alive. So, all right, go away. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show, the show that listeners call up just to check in on. Let us know that they're alive. That's a wonderful thing about the show, just checking in there. All right, let's see. Paige down here. Who do we have? Jay in Florida, formerly in Pennsylvania, formerly in Michigan, says it's like horsey sauce. Yeah, we thought that, too. That stadium sauce from Milwaukee, it's like Arby's sauce a little bit, too. The Arby's sauce you get there. Yeah. JD in Boston is listening. He says, can we make a mascot for the Ben Maller Show? What animal would it be? Maybe a dragon or something like that. Well, outside of Chuck the Condor, great question, JD. Outside of Chuck the Condor, to me, the greatest mascots are morbidly obese. You got to have a fat mascot. Benny the Bull, fat mascot, right? Love him. Philly Fanatic, fat mascot. Billy the Marlin, fat mascot. These are all great mascots. So you got to have some plumpness to your mascot.
I think our mascot also would need to be drunk.
Yes, that would be true.
A bottle of booze constantly in his hand. He would like naps a lot. We'd catch him sleeping instead of doing some hijinks.
But when he talks, he would scream like Hollering James. Right? And then be dressed like the drag queen Phylexis in Buffalo.
Hell, let's be honest. Hollering James could be the mascot.
That is true. We don't really know what Hollering James looks like. JD says maybe beer drinking Brian and a half pint could be like Wally and Tessie, the mascots of the Ben Maller Show. Yeah. Or like Mr. Met and Mrs. Met. Don't they have a girl Met mascot, don't they? I think they do.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. That's a great idea, JD. A great idea. We can get some Maller bobbleheads going and with the mascot bobbleheads. That's the way to go. I'm all for it. All right. We will press on here. And we do have coming up in a couple of minutes, we will have Maller to the third degree. Maller to the third degree. Time now for the Insta trivia. So we'll go back in honor of Corn Dog, who just called up and was talking about how the Brewers own the Dodgers. Prior to Sunday, before Dodgers, AJ Pollock and Matt Beattie did it this weekend, the Texas Rangers duo of blank and blank were the last set of teammates to have 7+ runs batted in a game since the RBI became an official statistic. It hasn't happened all that often, as you might imagine. But prior to LA's AJ Pollock and Matt Beattie over the weekend against the Brewers, the Texas Rangers duo of blank and blank were the last set of teammates that ended up with 7 or more runs batted in a single game since the RBI became an official statistic. That is the Insta trivia, the answer. And Maller to the third degree next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
4 out of 5 nocturnal listeners to sports radio choose the Ben Maller Show to combat insomnia. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your help to grow the Maller Militia. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
With Maller to the third degree on tap, here's the instant trivia. Before the Dodgers, A.J. Pollock and Matt Beattie did it over the weekend, the Texas Rangers duo of blank and blank were the last set of teammates with 7-plus runs batted in a game since the RBI became an official statistic. All right. That's it right there. You got to figure it out. Jay in Florida says, who is Andre the Giant? Mr. Nice Guy is going with the Ben and Dave show, the original Ben and Dave show with Ben Maller and Dave Smith. Pete Incaviglia and Ruben Sierra from Miguel on Fire. Christopher the Custodian is going with Abbott and Costello. Who else do we have? Lloyd McClendon and Bobby Valentine, guessed by Oscar. Mork and Mindy from Richard. Some good names here. Who else do we have? Manic Mike cheated. He got it right. Bad job by you. Luke the Vending Guy is going with Greg the Hammer Valentine as his answer. Noel Ryan and Benny the Bopper from J. Dot. You are Skeeter in Montana and Sleazy Cheese, guessed by the late night drug tester. Alf the Alien Opiner is going with Statler and Waldorf as the selection. Chuck Norris and Chuck Norris. Walker, Texas Ranger is the guessed by Just Josh. Chris in Houston, Chris in Des Moines. Boy, that's a Freudian slip. Chris in Des Moines says O.W. McDowell and Doug Strange, the correct answer. Who else do we have? Sanford and Son from Troy in Seattle. Buddy Bell and Doyle Alexander from Breadman Bill. Occasional marginal show contributor, Breadman Bill. Inca Terror from New York is going with Sonny and Cher as his answer. Who else do we have? Peaches and Herb from Big Rig Rob. Heckle and Jekyll from David in Seattle. You have an answer, Eddie.
Yes, I do, Ben. I'm going to go with Larry Parrish and Toby Hara.
A couple of legends. It was a Texas Ranger duo, the duo of Ramon Vasquez and Jared Saltalamacchia.
Who?
That was when the Rangers beat the Orioles 30-3. 30-3 was the final in that random American League game back in the first decade of the 2000s, and they each had 7-plus RBIs. And that leads us into...
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop da-loop.
So Vic Fangio told reporters over the weekend that Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater will see equal reps with the first team offense during training camp, indicating that it'll be a true quarterback competition. Now, Ben, let's assume that the Broncos don't land Aaron Rodgers. Who is starting for them week one?
All right, so first of all, I believe this is a bogus statement by Vic Fangio, and I've heard similar comments coming out of the front office of the Broncos. The Broncos are going to start Teddy Bridgewater. If they thought that Drew Lock was going to be the guy, then Teddy Bridgewater would not be here. Makes no sense, right? Bridgewater, unless Bridgewater gets hurt, he's going to be the quarterback. And secondly, Denver, I hate to say it, Coop, but it's true, they've become a halfway house for shaky quarterbacks. The Broncos are just essentially twiddling their thumbs at some point, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or drafting a quarterback at the very top. They're going to have to make a move there. They're just treading water right now. Next!
The new regime, Atlanta Falcons, sent a message that they weren't interested in a rebuild by restructuring Matt Ryan's contract and by drafting Kyle Pitts with the 4th overall pick. Ben, how do you think the Falcons will do this season?
Well, the Kyle Pitts, we think he's going to be great. We love the guy. Think he'll be very good in the NFL. But remember that the guy he's compared to, Calvin Megatron Johnson, put up great stats, and the Lions were terrible most of the years. And the Falcons have a mishmash of a roster. They got a new coach, Arthur Smith. Who knows how he's going to do? I say the Falcons, at best, if everything goes right, they win 7 games. They go 7-10 or 8-9. Next!
Stephon Diggs took to Twitter this weekend to go on a rant about water. He said he doesn't care what anyone thinks. Water has a taste, and that Dasani tastes like someone dropped a penny in it. Ben, I know you're a big water drinker. Does it have a taste, and which bottled brand is your favorite?
Well, most water does not have a taste. I love water. It's zero calorie. My favorite brand, I'm willing to drink any water, but Kirkland brand water from Costco is my favorite. How do we do, Koopaloop?
You pass this edition.
There it is. That's a, because that's the right answer. You guys are shaming me, but Kirkland brand's the way to go.